T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bebich and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Right now, time to get to the BetQL guest line. Talk to our friend Mr. Brendan Porath, co-host of the Shotgun Start podcast, part of the Fried Egg blog podcast network. You've seen his stuff, SB Nation, Golf Channel, all over the place. Brendan, what's up, dude? Busy 24 hours for you?
JT, crazy. Busy is an understatement. Just no one saw this coming. I think that's added to the sort of chaotic nature of this, and you've heard it now over and over again, is like everyone blindsided by it. You get these big stories that you kind of can't anticipate, or you hear a rumor, or you get some heads up about. But this would be like the Dan Snyder sale. There's zero forewarning of it, and all of a sudden you wake up on a Tuesday morning, and by 10 a.m., the Commanders have been sold with zero warning or drawn out process. It was crazy.
But I think we'll be jumping for joy on that one, though. But
that's true.
The question I ask, everyone is looking at, like, all the guys that went to live were right. The question I ask, and I heard people talk about this last night on TV, they may not get all that money that we heard about since this thing is coming together now.
Yes. It seems like they jumped the gun yesterday. Someone was going to leak this. So the details are scant. The how this will actually play out seems like months in the making. I do think – so the PIF, the Saudi PIF, is about to pump billions of dollars into this now, quote-unquote, more approved entity for the Gulf ecosystem. Mm-hmm. Some of that money is going to have to be redirected to these players who passed up those – you know, upfront offers, decide to stay loyal to the PGA Tour. Mm-hmm. And some of those players who took it, I think there's going to be a leveling out, or there's going fines would probably be too harsh a term for it, but they may not get all their money. They are not going to be easily reassimilated into the PGA Tour. Some of them who were particularly contentious and confrontational, it's going to take a while. I suspect Phil Mickelson, it's going to be a bit, if he ever comes back to the PGA Tour. Mm-hmm. This isn't necessarily that he's back next week. So I do think some of that upfront cash, this was a deal with the PIF, would not live at all. So, but PIF controls those live contracts, you know, above it with all the cash. But it does seem like there's going to be not a make good, but a more leveling out of the money and equities from that upfront cash.
Yeah, I mean, the way I look at it is the Saudis clearly want this to work. This is important to them. They've probably already burned billions of dollars and are willing to invest now more of it. There's no way they're going to have Rory and Tiger and Spieth and the guys that Scheffler, the guys that stuck around with the big-name values, they're not going to have those guys pissed off at them. Am I being perhaps too naive? Or they'll make something work, and maybe it'll be a different kind of payment structure. But Tiger's going to get his. Rory's going to get his.
Yeah, absolutely. And to be honest with you, like, the labor here, the players have the power still. They're not under contract with this new entity. They're not under contract with the PGA Tour. This is sort of an extreme scenario, but they still have the power to band together. Rory, Spieth, Scheffler, Tiger say, no, we don't want this entity either. We're going to start our own new league. They could, in theory, do that. They're not going to, but they do still have the power to get theirs, as you say, demand a little bit of this cut, demand more say and more cash from this pie. They will. The PIF and this new entity with the PGA Tour are going to have to chip off those guys a good chunk of change to keep them happy, to understand their value. Because, look, the PGA Tour railed against this because it was rewarding players more for their brand name and their value as marketers, endorsers, as people who put butts in the seat. And a lot of that's based on performance, but some of it may not be based on current performance. And part of this new entity is going to be giving some of those guys, whether Tiger hasn't played or, say, Spieth is in a slump but still brings out the people and brings marketers and sponsors, they're going to be getting rewarded handsomely for their brand appeal, not just on-course performance.
I ask you this question. The guy who was in the middle of all this, Greg Norman, does he make it through the end?
No. There's a lot of details that seem to be up in the air. Everybody's racing to proclaim winners and losers, and I think everybody kind of won and everybody lost a little bit. That's the nature of a compromise. The Saudis for sure won. They're at the table now in an official way. But a loser in this is Greg Norman. He's not. He's gone. I think Bob Herrig had reported that. He was at kind of a good line to the LIV operation. Greg Norman's not expected to stay on LIV. What LIV is likely done. It's going away. It may finish 2023, but as Rory was adamant about this morning, this was a deal with the Saudi PIF. This is not a merger with LIV Golf. LIV Golf is likely going away. Parts and pieces of it may stick around in this new entity. Players may come back in some form or fashion. But LIV Golf is going away, and likely Greg Norman with it.
Wow.
We're talking with our friend Brendan Porath from the Fried Egg Shotgun Start. You can give him a follow at Brendan Porath, P-O-R-A-T-H, on Twitter and Instagram. I hadn't heard Rory's comments this morning. He was – I think you wrote – I read your the Fried Egg email this morning. I think you wrote that he was a meat shield for Jay Monahan throughout a lot of this. And I really think it kind of – wore him out, man. I mean, all of last year, Rory was the face of, you know, F the LIV, I'm staying on the PGA Tour. Now, I mean, how pissed is he? How does he reconcile all this?
I mean, it has been a bunch of BS, for sure, for Rory. Like, he's a professional golfer. His job is to go out, play golf, make a bunch of money doing so, compete, win majors, and he's become this sort of de facto leader of the PGA Tour, a meat shield. Probably a more eloquent term, which Rory used this morning. He said himself, I feel like sort of a sacrificial lamb in all this that's gone on. He felt right. He stood up on principle. He bought the PGA Tour, and it wasn't necessarily all the moral arguments about Saudi money, though he has made those, but he felt like the PGA Tour was being attacked in an unfair way. He thought this was the PGA Tour was the best path forward for professional golf and the players coming after him. And he stood and took all the arrows for Jay Monahan, who I would say is not particularly strong at media, not particularly strong at explaining things. Rory, I thought, explained the deal better than Jay did, even just yesterday. So Rory's up there. He's playing events, you know, every other week, and he's the one doing press conferences and sort of having to answer for all the tour's moves or getting popped and getting a player taken from them. The war of words, Rory was at the front of that, and he called himself a sacrificial lamb. He has to be a little frustrated. He's lost. He didn't lose 2 years of his career, but it had an unseen impact on him and certainly wore on him mentally, having to be sort of the face of this battle for the PGA Tour.
It's just crazy. So, I mean, how much do you buy? So I heard, and I can't, maybe Landfill or Jeff, you can track it down with Valdez, but it was very noticeable to me. I mean, LIV Golf, the last tournament was right here at Trump. And
yeah.
They seem to keep a pretty low profile. I know the Junks did a show out there, but somebody told me that they were making a concerted effort to be less confrontational, less controversial.
Because they've been talking over the last 7 weeks.
Right. And that Greg Norman specifically was kind of being phased out of talking to the media.
Yeah.
I think that makes a lot of sense now. Like, looking back, obviously this thing surprised the world. But looking back, how many signs do you think there were? Do you think Rory's kind of weird behavior over the last couple months, even like he had an idea? Where do you think, looking back now, you can see some of these pieces?
I think there are a lot of people trying to connect the dots and trying to see, oh, we saw it there, we saw it here. I think Jay Monahan said it started 7 weeks ago. That was when Rory had sort of a weird WD from RBC Heritage, said he was going through some stuff, had just missed the cut at the Masters, and people are trying to connect that. He must have learned that they were talking. I don't think that's true necessarily. I think the live approach in D.C., that's just been a general sort of effort to be less confrontational. When they're confrontational, tend to put them under the microscope a little bit more and get them.
Well, the players must hate it.
Yeah, absolutely. And Phil started talking a lot more on Twitter and things like that. But when there was a dust up in Australia, one of their spokesmen for Liv, like, we are making an effort to not be confrontational in our press conferences or not talk, you know, noise about the PGA Tour or players. So I think that's just been an effort. I think some parties were aware that lines of communication had been open, but I do not think there were many signs that this was happening at this pace and at this time. There were lines of communication. There's always been rumors that, like, Liv is just burning through money and players are unhappy there and it's not sustainable. Saudis just want a seat at the larger table. So there was rumors, and it wouldn't have shocked you if Liv made some bold change or scaled down. But I don't think anyone really saw this coming. There were lines of communication, but no one saw it happening on this timeline, aside from Jay Monahan, his two executive deputies, and the Saudis.
Yeah, I believe that. Like, most of the players yesterday said they never heard anything about it, and they were upset. Yeah. But I think like you said, Jay Monahan did not explain it good at all.
No.
And if what you're saying is more of a PIF and PGA thing, and I guess that's what they really put. And I think the TVs kept putting in parentheses Liv, okay? Liv has nothing without PIF.
Right.
So, yeah, Liv doesn't exist without PIF.
I think that's the ultimate thing, and I think that's where Rory is going. Like, if it's something with another entity and we're trying to work this thing out, and he's probably thinking to himself, if Greg Norman is gone, I'm good with it.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's – look, the Saudis wanted a seat at the table. They have more than a seat. You know, there's some – you know, within the press release, there was this note that the Public Investment Fund is the exclusive investor in this new entity, and it has a right of first refusal for new investment. So they are controlling the purse strings, even if they don't have majority board control of this new entity. The Saudis just wanted that seat at the table, and they burned a couple billion dollars via Liv, which then became this lawsuit antagonist for the PGA Tour, bleeding them with these legal bills. And that kind of pushed their hand into this quote-unquote merger. The Saudis, like, Liv is just a piece of this. It was a good way in. They do, I think, care about team golf. There's going to be some aspect of team golf going forward. But Liv was a means, a couple billion dollars worth of means, to get to that table, get in that, that litigation that really forced the PGA Tour's hand from a cost perspective, and now they're there. But Liv is just kind of a very incidental piece to this, an expensive one that's probably going away. And, you know, that's something, if you're like a big Liv enthusiast, are you happy?
Do those exist?
I don't know that you are. Excuse me?
Do big Liv enthusiasts exist? I mean, nobody watches the product.
They do on Twitter. At least they're popping me all day on Twitter. I mean, there are some that are really into it. But, like, Phil, Big Phil, like, you know, the tour is back. Jay Monahan's kind of his boss again, or kind of running the tour. The entity that he would have to play for. So where are you at with that? You got paid well, but again, Liv is sort of going away.
Well, everybody played this role of being the merit police. Will any of this affect a lot of the other sponsors that they had, since now the Saudis are in charge and, like you said, exclusive investor or sponsor, whatever?
I think there might be some grumbling, but the way that the PGA Tour has sort of reformatted itself in the last year to try to keep up with the money that the Saudis were offering and Liv, and these $20 million purses for, like, not majors, but, you know, significant events, were they just going to keep going to these title sponsors? You got to get more. We need more. We need more to keep up. So I think there's probably some grumbling, but overall, there might be a sense of relief that they don't have to keep opening up their bank accounts to try to jack these purses to the roof to keep up with whatever this competitive Saudi league is. Mm-hmm. And Yeah, I and another part of this is the PGA Tour, as we know it, is kind of staying as it is. That the nonprofit part of this is going to be is still intact. The PGA Tour is going to still administer and run all the events that they've always run as a nonprofit, and this new entity is sort of off to the side, pumping a bunch of cash into the game and to players and to new teams. So the tour still exists. Those sponsors for their events are still going to kind of keep their status quo and just might not have to fork over as much cash because there's not this competitor, you know, extending the purses.
One thing I find fascinating is why, because the Saudis are trying to buy all the best soccer players. I wonder if down the line the Saudis see the switch to electric cars and are trying to, like, diversify their incredible wealth. That's we're going to ask Ben White, our guy, our economist, that at noon. But, Brendan, I'm curious, like, maybe not a year from now because there's going to be a lot of probably, you know, tense moments as, like, a dude like Koepka or – you know, when Lee Westwood comes back, nobody's going to care, I think. But, like, when DeChambeau comes back, Phil, if he comes back,
there's going to be... Is he done?
Yeah. Perez has talked a lot of S.
Talked a lot of trash. Couldn't win no damn tournament, but he was still winning money.
Yeah,
like, what happens guys with that?
It's interesting. I think there's going to be some pain. They're not going to make it easy. There's going to be some sort of review board, for reintegrating these guys back to the tour. People like DJ and Brooks, who sort of kept their head down, not talked a lot of junk, will probably get in a little easier. Those who've been confrontational, those who've been sort of popping off, will not. It's going to be a really interesting, messy process. But yes, like you said, this is a way for, you know, Saudi's oil dependence, you know, you got your economists coming, but this is part of the plan. Their vision 2030, they need to invest in other businesses and make themselves attractive in other ways. And part of that is sort of having a seat at the table of larger sports leagues and having sports stars on their side and getting beyond just the billions of oil dependence.
Do so they stop at the PGA Tour?
No. No. I mean, the NBA in the last year permitted for Saudi investment in its teams. There's a world where, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs are taking on Saudi money. I think that's what they're, you know, there's all sorts of hypotheticals out there with NIL now and Saudi billions, endless amounts of money, pouring money. Now, do they see the ROI or value in that? With golf especially, it provides them a seat at sort of this hoity-toity table, right? The CEO of FedEx and the CEO of KPMG and all, they're like playing in that sandbox. Golf is sort of a means to also be a part of that community. I don't know if they get that sort of access or value from just buying a bunch of NIL or being the primary booster or owner of a college football program. But there's potential for that they're coming for a lot more American sports because the money is there.
Let me be clear, as a University of Maryland alum, if the Saudis want to come in and start throwing billions at the football program, I'm not going to be complaining about
Let
it.
Them.
So, yeah, I bet Locke's be cool
right.
with it, too.
right.
But, dude, all right, last one, Brendan. We're talking with our friend Brendan Porath from the Fried Egg Shotgun Start podcast. Make sure you listen to it. 3 years from now, and I'm a golf fan, consumer of the product, B watches, I watch, you watch, it's how you make a living. I kind of feel like a couple years from now, it's pretty much going to be status quo, except maybe there's a little more of an international flavor, which frankly, I won't mind. I love when the golf's on late at night and stuff. Sure. I think if we get to see Royal Melbourne more, I would love that. And I think, yeah, there'll probably be some funky team thing in Riyadh once a year. Like, is that how you see it, or do you think there's going to be dramatic change?
Yeah, so there's some cognitive dissonance here. Like, I think the product's going to improve dramatically from this. If you are okay with a foreign government, whether they're pristine or not, owning a piece like an American cultural institution, like a sports team or a sports league, if you're okay with that, and you're okay with their sort of some of the abuses that they commit, then it's sort of a balance, right? You have to be okay with it. And as Rory said, like, there's no hiding. The people with the most money are winning, and you just have to resign yourself to the fact. But what this is going to do from a product standpoint, it's only going to make things better. There's going to be some probably pretty cool, unique, different team things going on. Those guys, the biggest stars, are going to be making gobs of money. The PGA Tour, I think, is going to look pretty similar. I think it's going to get the best guys at the same place more often. The majors will stay the majors. There's a little question, like, can they keep up with the cash, right? Are they going to lose some of their luster if they can't keep up with the cash? Because obviously they run separate and apart from the PGA Tour. They're all their own tournaments.
Yeah, so I always wondered about that.
I think the majors will be totally fine, dude. I think that's the one legacy portion that matters. Like, you can have a $50 million purse for the John Deere. People are still going to Augusta.
I agree with you. Right now, I agree with you. Like those shields of like history and legacy and real competition, like that actually is the case at the majors. And I don't think the purse necessarily is the overriding thing. But if you have the Saudi entity plus the PGA Tour so far and away ahead of some of these majors, they will have a little bit more power over the governing bodies and telling them, hey, no, we're not accepting a rollback of the ball or things like that. But yes, I think down the line, the majors are still going to be the majors. They'll look as good as ever, quite honestly. Like, they'll look, this is the real competition, that they stand out far and away like from everything else that's going on. But also, outside of the majors, the product, I think, will probably be better. Everybody's back in the same umbrella, the same tent. It's kind of, like you said, a world tour, a global tour. You'll have unique events at different parts of the year. And probably the money to innovate and do some different kind of experiment with some more team formats and stuff like that. So I do think it will look good.
Will they have to change up the points?
They should. They should. I don't know if they will. Like the FedEx Cup points mean where there's like the race for the they should. They should, because like you're going to have like tours within a tour, right? There's going to be the guys who are getting these hundreds of million dollars of just upfront cash or money contracts kind of for being who they are, for being the stars that they are, for, you know, selling tickets and sponsors. An event that's like the John Deere, like JP just said, shouldn't be getting the same amount of points that one of those other events where the purse is, you know, 5X and all the top players are there. They should probably have to reassess the point system. And they should have done that anyway.
I agree. Like, the players should matter more than the travelers. It's pro golf with a small side of beheading. You just got to make your peace with it. Brendan, thank you for the time, brother. Really appreciate it. Hopefully we can still do our – I mean, the U.S. Open is going to be fascinating. Fascinating next week. I can't wait.
It's going to be awesome. I can't wait either. It's going to be so cool.
All right. We'll track you down from L.A. next week, man. Appreciate you making time for us. That's our guy, Brendan Porath, right here on Bemidji and Finley. When we return, we haven't really talked about it yet. I've been outside for 2 hours now. It is a code red smoke day in the nation's capital. It's smoky out here. Let's discuss.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
B. Mitch and Finley. Chris Russell in the, well, I guess it's not really a building. Chris Russell walking over to the back of the truck. Can you tell if that was a tick or just a regular bug? Hello?
Who are you talking
to? You guys?
To?
You.
We don't see it.
Is that a tick?
It.
I sent it in the text thread.
You just sent us a picture.
You didn't send a damn thing. You must send it somewhere else. We don't see nothing.
I mean, it might not be coming through. Rooster, I'll get you a mic if you want to chat real quick. Through? It's coming through now. All right, so it's a little brown-ass bug on my calf. I'm not good at counting legs or any of that stuff, but it wasn't an ant, and it was little, and it looked kind of mean. And I've since gotten rid of it, and I've examined my leg, and he doesn't appear to have broken the skin.
Well, we'll start checking out and see if you turn into an alien or something. You're all right right now, though.
I mean, right now I feel okay. I did want to talk about the smoke. What was the smoke like for you guys driving downtown? Could you see the top of the Washington Monument or anything?
Yeah, I didn't see any smoke.
Rolling really?
I didn't see nothing. I've been hearing everybody talk about it. I'm like, looks like a regular morning to me.
All right, Landfill or Jeff, it definitely doesn't look like a regular morning to me. When I drove, so I drove from Bethesda out to Ashburn, and so I take Dulles Toll Road, and you go by Reston Town Center, which has, you know, some pretty legit tall buildings. I don't know how tall they are, 25, 30 stories or something. You couldn't see the tops of them when I was driving out here. It was definitely smoggy, smoky, foggy, hazy, whatever term you want to use. Jeff, Landfill, did you see anything?
I couldn't judge it by the height of buildings because we don't have any tall buildings, but I could smell it. I usually drive with the windows rolled down, and I had to roll them up today because it was the smoke stank was too much for me.
I gotta say, I'm pretty surprised Landfill drives with the windows down. I would never have guessed that. That
always
seems like a lot of interacting with nature for you, Landini.
I like the breeze, the nature,
like the wind in your hair.
I can deal with nature. It's the people that I don't like.
That's true. How do you feel about ticks, nature boy Landfill?
Well, I don't agree with bugs, so I stay inside. Sometimes the worst part of the windows being rolled down is sometimes bees fly in your car, and it's horrible.
I'm anti-bee. Now, Jeff, you are probably the smoke expert of the program. You're used to smoky, foggy areas, particularly in your own home. What did you see driving in this morning?
Looked like a regular day to me, JP.
The
smoke
matched
the inside of my house.
Yeah, it looks regular to me.
It's like, nah. I didn't really see no
smoke,
though.
That was
just
Jeff after four bong
hits. The air is heavy, and there is a smell.
Okay, I have an expert on everything, frankly. Chris Russell is here at the back of the truck with me. Rooster, watch out for the ticks.
Yeah, I am. This is an impressive setup. I don't know if I've seen exactly this setup with, like, a bedroom dresser serving as your accoutrement.
The bedroom dresser, believe it or not, and I can drop a picture in the thread if you guys don't believe me. My guy, Linnell, moved into a new apartment and asked me if I had any old furniture, and I'm giving this to Linnell. So that's why this dresser is here.
That is, you know what that's called? That's called being a good teammate.
I'm always looking to make it about me.
All right.
Yeah, so, I would never bring a dresser for Linnell to a radio show. This is quite the setup, though. I am impressed by what you do to do this radio show, because we were having a discussion on the sideline this morning about where JP Finley was today. And I said, no. I said, it's smoggy, it's hot, it's humid. He's in some back office in the media annex somewhere, safely tucked away. Because I heard when you first came back from the press conference and B. Mitch was like, oh, JP, you're there. And I thought, well, he's got to be in the media annex. I didn't realize you were out here suffering with all the regular squalor of America.
We like to keep everybody guessing. When the world zigs, Rooster, I zag. Yeah. However, I want to go exactly to your point about suffering and squalor.
Yeah.
I'm out here.
You are.
Listen, it's a little smoky. I don't think it's that bad.
No, it's not that bad. I mean, the bugs and the woods and whatever would drive me crazy because they'd eat me alive, which probably isn't a bad thing and would probably make Landfill very happy.
I don't think Landfill wants to get eaten alive.
I wouldn't be so sure of that. But anyway, it's It's not. I don't know. I mean, it's definitely hazy. Look, it's not Yankee Stadium last night. Did you see the pictures and the video from Yankee Stadium? Oh my gosh! How did they play that game?
Landfill.
Like you could not see anything.
Landfill, are you stunned that Russell somehow made this about New York being better than DC?
No, he loves New York more than anything in the world. A true Buffalo boy.
Get my face, not my body.
Landfill probably thinks I made sure that Josh Allen made the cover of Madden Football this year.
Of course you did.
That's a 12:45 Rooster. Oh, you just ruined it.
Sorry.
Nobody knew.
Nobody. Do you think people actually listen to me?
For sure. would you? All right. I'm asking Rooster, the football coach. Ron was asked about this morning. Do you have to move practice inside?
No.
I'm out here. I don't think you need to move practice inside.
No, it's fine. No.
Now, if the docs or somebody were like, you should move it, okay. But I don't want to say it's much ado about nothing because it's my understanding it's worse downtown.
Yeah.
I don't even smell it.
I don't smell it. I don't sense it.
I don't feel it.
I smell good, man. I mean,
damn,
a little
JP,
cologne.
That's just messed up, man.
I don't smell as good as B. Mitch normally smells.
Nobody smells as good as Brian.
You know, I have some good cologne, but I don't have that kind of cologne.
Golly,
Brian's cologne budget is on par to the Saudi Public Investment Fund.
I'm crazy.
I don't do anything.
Last question.
Fun. My life sucks.
Last question for the one and only Chris Russell.
Yes, because then I have to drive into the station and do a show that nobody's gonna pay any attention to.
Everybody can listen starting at 2:00, all right? Apparently Jeff wants to challenge B in tennis.
I'm a
sausage guy. And I have to be the ball boy. I have to be the ball boy. Who you got, Jeff versus B. Mitch in tennis?
Straight up tennis, not pickleball. Okay. I mean, I would absolutely take B. Mitch in straight sets.
Yeah.
I mean, 6-love, and maybe I'll give Jeff 6-1 in the third.
Jeff won't be able to play 3 whole sets.
We know that.
That's probably true.
Right.
He's barrel-chested, but he's not. Like, we know Jeff. The only way he moves at the station is when he's trying to avoid doing his job.
Jeff, you are catching shrapnel out
here.
Is
food in the studio. It's killing you, Jeff.
I mean, it is odd that Russell is willing to come on our show for a few minutes when I do not have food to give him.
I have some peanuts in the truck. This is the greatest misnomer in the world because, A, I bring in a lot of my food. B, I cook for you dumbasses. And C, I do not come in. I mean, I haven't seen your friend's name. Why am I drawing a blank? Hello. Ahmet in like months.
Yeah, but
I haven't seen
Ahmet
in months.
So
wait, are you blaming Ahmet?
No, I'm saying
you show up.
No, hey, Chris, that's not.
Shut the bleep up.
That's not true.
Yes,
that's not true. I mean, listen, if there's free food, I'm going to come and check it out and see what your boys have. But I mean, it's not like I only show up when there's free food, for crying out loud. I like you guys.
No, you don't only show up when it's free food, but you sure the hell show up when it's free food.
That's fair. A square is a rectangle, but a rectangle is not always a square. Right. Like, you hang out, you're our friend, but you're definitely our friend.
Listen,
when the food shows
up. You don't
up.
Get this temple of doom by turning down free food all the time, you know?
We got to go. Landfill's going to flip out. Right.
Should we talk about naked men with barrels around them?
What?
Should we talk about naked men with barrels around them?
Landfill, you're always yelling at me to break. I'm trying to break. You're playing Rooster Cuts. What do you want me to do?
Should we talk about naked men with barrels around them?
All right, Landfill and the boys have done a thorough review of the bug that crawled onto my leg here at Commander's Minicamp. What do you think, fellas? Am I infected with, will I turn into a mutant? Is it a tick?
It's possible. It just looks like a speck of dirt, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it looks like a tick because it has the little things on it. But did you spray, you said?
Yeah, I did, but my spray might be running out of spray, so I may need another one. If my mom's listening, please send me more.
Your mom would say, son, you pass by stores every day. Why don't you stop and get some?
Well, last summer I didn't, and then she finally just sent me some. So I'm just cutting right to the front of the line.
We want you to just go get you some before it gets to you, because if you keep going out there and you're sitting out in the field, you might have a problem.
B, do you want to hear something that you might find funny from your golf tournament on Monday?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who the guy was behind me, but the line for the food was a little bit long when they first announced it, and I was really hungry. And I kind of did the act lost. Oh, what do you know? I just found myself in the front of the line. And this dude behind me is like, oh, yeah, sure, JP, just cut the whole line. And I was like, ah. And then I just got food and ran away.
Where was this at?
At your golf tournament, Lakewood.
Oh, really? You just jumped up and skipped everybody.
But you know what I found out and tried to spread the word? I was basically the Paul Revere of the steak table because there was the big, long salad, vegetable, chicken, maybe paella.
Yeah.
It was a big dish, right? There was that table, but nobody knew about the steak table in the far corner. So I was Johnny Appleseed, man. I was running around spreading the gospel of the steak table in the far corner. So you're welcome, in a sense.
Oh, that's the way you get by skipping people.
Yeah. Well, okay. I was working. I was trying to help.
All right. We'll give you that. I don't think the people that you skip will be cool with that, though.
Well, you know, they can call in and talk to Jeff. So I just saw this from Mike Kliss, who is a major Broncos reporter out in Denver. Dalton Risner was a first-rounder, guard prospect, big, strong kid. I want to say he went to Kansas State. I could be wrong on that. He's a free agent right now, and Kliss is reporting that 7 teams have shown serious interest in the former Broncos guard. I wonder, yeah, so he went to K-State, he was a first-round pick. Now, he's probably been released. I mean, there's a reason he's a free agent, right?
Yep.
He was a second-round pick. The numbers were good. I don't know if there was an injury there or what.
We might want to find that out.
Is that something you'd be interested in?
I need to know.
At least kicking tires?
I need to know the medicals first.
Yeah, certainly.
If, you know, he's free, why is he free right now?
Right.
Is there an
injury? Generally, you're not free in June unless there's a real question about something.
There you go.
Now, there may well be a question. But he started in Denver for the last 4 years. I'm trying to see if he was hurt. Okay, so according to this article, it was just kind of the guard market hasn't materialized. The Broncos signed somebody else, and Risner's just kind of chilling. His plan is he's going to be patient. What starts happening in August, Brian?
People start getting banged up.
Starters get hurt.
Well, you could do and like if, Eric Williams always did. Eric Williams always was patient when training camp came around, so he could miss most of training camp.
Dude, I think a lot of players do exactly that. They just don't want to.
Yeah.
They just don't want to have to go.
Hell yeah.
I remember the year Trent Williams was still here and he sat out. Who was my man's name that they signed from the Raiders? Big fella. Donald Penn?
Yeah.
I remember they were trying to finalize the details of getting Donald Penn signed, and it took like 3-4 days to get it all locked in. And he was like, yeah, I was in no real hurry to get to Richmond either.
I don't blame him.
That comment always stuck with me. Here's what we're going to do. Our guy Ben White joins us next. We're talking about the intersection of the Commanders and the economy. Nobody does it like Ben does. 1 o'clock, PFT commenter joining us on a Wednesday. Do not go anywhere.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your
vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.